I bring you greetings from the Angel of the House of Thunder to Angel of the Glory Company and to Company of Burning Hearts. I've been looking forward to the conference here. Arriving in England, we've flown over the channel and kind of coming into our nation, into your nation. And I was like, we're going to have an interesting time at this conference, people. We really are. I don't really know how to start with what I want to say over this conference time, and so I'm just going to ramble for a little bit until I can get my head into gear. God is doing a most unusual thing in earth that I've never seen happen before, because the Bible is very clear, no man knows the things that God has in store for them that love them. And so God is doing an unusual thing on the earth, and the reason that the earth is kicking off and things are happening around the earth is not because the devil wants to win. It's because God is doing something. And whenever the earth starts to go, particularly in the days of grace, particularly when God is beginning to land something in earth, then the earth will begin to erupt. And if there's triggered seed anywhere around the world, then the enemy will trigger that and create an environment for bloodshed, because he trades in blood. And so, because he likes your human blood, because blood's got a voice. And so, because it's part of who you are, because of what you carry inside there. And anyway, and so, I've kind of been excited and have engaged on and off through the last 2 weeks while we've been in Wales and been in Scotland, and a couple of meetings yesterday with Lindy's groups of people, yesterday, the day before, whenever. But I've been very hesitant to go too much further into what we need to do over this conference time, because I really believe God is wanting to do something. I've had another encounter with the Prince Roaring Angel of your nation. His name's called Majesty. And I am looking forward to delivering what is going to be needed in the conference time. So I'm very happy to be here. I'm excited about it. I kind of, as I say, just rumbling and meandering along, because I think it's important. There are three beings that have come out of the East Gate. They are called kings, and they have been very present in all of the meetings. We've had Moses come and show up, and the reason he is showing up in meetings quite specifically is because he had something with the Father. It's really interesting. I have a belief system about Moses that isn't necessarily scriptural, but somehow I feel like he chose to stay this side of the river on purpose, to wait for a generation that he could show them how to go over. And it's not over into Israel, it's over into a completely different realm than was available in that day, because he saw it. And even though in his disobedience, all things work together for good. And so even though in his disobedience, when he smote the rock, I believe there was another purpose why God allowed that to happen, because that man was led by God because of the secret thing that he had locked into with the Father and the places that he walked with God. There's not many other men in the Bible that I've heard have taken on the faces of God and walked on the earth with those faces. And so I believe he stayed here for a specific reason. The people have wrestled over the issue with Moses, you know, how come his body was never found? It's because he's still got it. The Bible's very clear. It says that when the devil contended for the body of Moses, he did not bring against them a rallying accusation, but said to him, "The Lord rebuke you." See, then you've got to ask a question, why was an angel standing over Moses' body? It was because Moses needed collected. Because you can't have an interaction in creation, in the sense of who we are really supposed to be, unless you still have your body. Oh my goodness. So we're going to go down this pathway today, because it's important. The function of resurrection is so that you could have a body in heaven. You can just nod your head and go, yes, Ian. Because some of your theologies are already being twisted, and because you believe your body is a hateful thing. Do you realize you chose to come to earth to be put into a physical body we have been taught, because we have to crucify the flesh and to do away with our body, that we so want to be out of our body. But I'm here to tell you today, actually, you should be so much wanting your body to such a point that you so change it that it can go where you go. God wants your body for a reason. You came here to get the record of your soul as an eternal being bonded with your spirit man, so that your soul and spirit can completely transform your body. God is coming back for a bride that is spotless and wrinkleless. If God is coming back for a body spotless and wrinkleless, it means he has to undo your DNA. Because at the moment, it's a twist. And so the only way he's going to engage with us is to undo our DNA, so it can be presented as a gate. Your body is so important because of the ability it has to interact with the physical world that your soul and spirit can't. You know, so let's just go through a few scriptures and then we'll talk a bit more stuff, because some of you are already fried and that's all good. Praise God. Because we have to change our attitudes. We have to go away from the tradition of staying this side of the cross and go into resurrection. Moses, this is a function of Moses. The reason why Moses is here is to bring us into the revelation of the unraveling of our DNA into resurrection. Because we stay this side of the cross instead of recognizing that the cross has a purpose, was to show us that our body could be taken into the kingdom world. Yes, Ian. And so, you know, if you, as I say, I'm glad that there's at least one person in here that hasn't heard me before. Good luck. And well done for coming. Praise the Lord. It's great to have you here. And so you will find that some of the stuff I say, there's lots of quantitative stuff, teachings. I'm not going to go into it all. So let's go through. The first one that had his physical form escorted into the realm of heaven. There's a whole lot of seats at the back if you want to go and sit down over there. Please go down the aisle and sit down there. Was Enoch. Enoch was a forerunner because he lived completely out of the testimony of his intimacy with God, that God unraveled him so much that he became so much like God that he could not function outside of God with his body. Enoch could not function outside of God with his body because his body had taken on a completely image, different image that was completely woven into the fabric of who God was. So God wove him into that, and because of what God did with him, God took him and transferred him out of the physical environment and gave him the capacity to be fully immersed and emerged in him there, but he could still fully interact with the physical environment. If you don't have your body, you will not be able to fully interact with the physical environment. You'll only be in the spirit environment, engaging with the physical world, but you will not be able to interact with it. Which means you will not have an appearing in the physical world once your body dies, ever again. You will not have an appearing in the physical world once your body is dead, ever again. That's why our bodies are so important to God. When the next one, of course, so you have people like, you know, Shem, all these men who built the city of Salem, and everyone that dwelt in that city, who were all translated because of the holiness of that city, became a hallowed city. which means the canopy of the hooper of God was all over the top of it. And so everything that was in it came into complete recreation, which means that God had the capacity in them and totally translated them out of this world. That's why the city of Shem is not on the earth. That's why Abraham, when looking for a city whose builder and founder was God, ma'am, would you like to come in? Come down the back. It's all good. Just don't mind you wandering through. And I've just pulled my collar off. And then, of course, we come through into the Old Testament. So you've got Moses. Personally, I actually believe that this stuff has been going on for years and years and years. And in the secret, we haven't known what God's done, because we've assumed stuff and we haven't seen it, and there's been no records of it. I believe there are men on the face of the earth today that are over 300 years old. In fact, I've seen some of them, so they are, I don't have to believe. It's true. So let's talk a little bit about the human body, because it's important you understand why we die to ourselves. Now, grace is not a tolerance or theology for the tolerance of sin. Okay, it's not a theology for the toleration of sin. The whole functionality of who we are as a being is to get to such a point where our DNA is so changed into his image, and that can only be entangled with the cross. We must go through the cross. The function of the cross is to go through to resurrection. The function of the reason why Jesus exited this world wasn't to show you that he could exit this world, was to show you that beyond the cross there is a resurrection that we need to be beginning to engage with. Because the reason he exited was to show you that he could pick up his body. See, death is measured in corruption. And Jesus' body could not be corrupted. So he exited to show you something else. And so it becomes important for us. So let's look at the human body. The human body is a really interesting thing. I'm not going to go into some I'm not going to go into the scientific analogies of how you're made. You can go and do your own study on that stuff. But I just want to talk about some of the intrinsic things that are so important for us to get to grips with. When the seed of a male and a woman is fertilized together inside her womb, the complete fabric of the testimony of the record of who you are and all that your family line has been, with every mixture that's ever been connected into the DNA of man, is woven together in a ketubah inside the womb of a woman, which is a covenant of marriage between two parties in her womb. So you get 22 autosomes from him, 22 autosomes from her, chromosome from him, chromosome from her. And those 23 things come together to form the 46. And they form a pattern of what you will be from that point onwards. So in the very short spaces of time that inside the womb when the seed is being fertilized, and you have this little, you know, and I've shared about some of the stuff in a teaching called Where I Come From, The body, the formation of the 22 and 23 from each of those comes together, and you see the, like when you look at an electron microscope, you see this thing. It's sort of like this. It's weird, but in that little time, it's making a complete contract with every record that has been in your family line that is going to hold sway, and please come through and go and grab a seat down the far end, hold sway and precedent in your life, the way your body would be formed and framed. Now, the next interesting thing that happens after the cell is multiplied, and you start to get this little, you know, tadpole thing, which is what your body does, because your body weaves a house and a tabernacle for your spirit man. The next thing that happens is you get that original cell implodes into the center of all the little conglomeration of cells, and out of that original cell, the human heart is formed. So that original cell is what your heart is constructed of. And so when the word says As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So everything your parents have ever thought, ever believed, ever touched, tasted, smelled, seen, heard, ever walked through, their complete record and all their genealogy line, all the way down to Adam and beyond if you've got Nephilim and reptilian seed, and into other realms if you've got Nephilim and reptilian seed inside of you, and all of us have, then what begins to happen is that stuff begins to dictate to your life and your body chaos. So we are then born into chaos with a body that's in chaos. And so all that happens is your body decays in chaos. I do not believe that it's God's desire that our body decay in chaos. I believe that it's God's desire that our DNA becomes so intrinsically unwrapped and so entwined with who He is that we begin to take on a completely different form and we have precedence over chaos and over corruption. That's why death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your power? Our body must be undone from the corruption of the seat that it was born in. One of the things that David cried is, change my heart, O God. Change my heart. Why change my heart? Because it's the seat of the original seed that dictates to your DNA how the record of your DNA is going to behave. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Do you think that you just think there? Or do you think your heart is thinking about the complete record and thinking out of the complete record of everything that it's learnt in the DNA of your parents? Okay, I do a teaching called Autosomes. You need to get hold of it. Have a listen to it. It'll teach you how to deal with the autosomes of your DNA. I'm not gonna go into that today. I want to talk about this issue of the heart. Now, I find it fascinating that the word says this, that God will come and take out our stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. Wow. I've already got a heart of flesh. So what on earth is he talking about? Wow. So I don't know whether you think about these kind of weird things, but I do. I spend days and weeks trying to figure out what on earth God is talking about. My heart's not made of stone. Do you realize that frequency is the way you think? You think in frequency, which is vibration. When your heart is woven in corruption, it is hardened. So that's what the word says. Don't have your hearts hardened as the day in the desert when the children of Israel walked in the desert. It talks about how God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. One of the key intrinsic values that God's looking for is how much water you're going to water your ground of your heart with so it becomes pliable and soft so he can begin to engage it. And so what I believe God is looking for is a willingness for us to have a heart operation. Do you realize that in the physical form of a human being, when they have a heart operation and they have somebody else's heart given to them, about every 5 years, they have to have a new heart. Because what happens, your physical body will not restore the decaying of that other material inside your physical body. That's why they have to take all the drugs and stuff that makes their DNA try and accept their heart. So can you imagine what would happen if God took out our physical heart and gave us a different one? That unless our body was so changed to take on the nature of that heart, our body would actually begin to reject it and we would still die. So actually, it's not just about changing our heart. Do you realize also that a person who has a bone marrow transplant, their DNA in their blood is different than the DNA in their body? Because if I want the blood of Jesus walking around in my body, then I've got to have a bone marrow transplant. And that's why in the valley, Ezekiel said, "Oh, dead bones, live." Because the marrow carries a record of the life of the blood. And if the life is in the blood, then for us to have our heart renewed, we need the blood renewed. So your body is so important to the presence of God for the future. So then the Bible talks about how God will come and write upon the tables of our heart his laws. And we go, oh, he's going to come and write the Ten Commandments on my heart. No, that's your marriage contract. If you don't have one, you aren't going to get married. So get the CD and go do one. I'm serious. And so it's called the ketubah. And so the laws of God have nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments weren't actually commandments. They were a contract that God was making in marriage with the Hebrew people coming out of slavery. So when the Bible says God's going to write upon us the laws, then we've got to figure out what those laws are. So I'm just going to give you some simple things that help that. The Bible says the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem and the law of the Lord out of Zion. In Isaiah, it talks about that on a couple of occasions. Each of those realms has 12 laws that facilitate the governing of your body from a different realm. I've done some teachings on the 12 laws of Jerusalem, and I haven't taught yet any on the 12 laws of Zion. However, those laws make 24 laws. Isn't it really interesting how God wants to add his seed to what is already here? Because you already have 23 bits from each side. God wants to add in a bit of his own to each side. No, you're not getting it. It's okay. It's all good. Just get the CD and you can get through it. We'll get through this. And so God wants to add his seed. So when the Bible says in 1 John, he that is born of God sins not, and he that is begotten of the Father, the evil one touches him not. That being born of God means you have something else added to you that was not there before. Because what that seed line, what that seed does when God brings it to you is completely change your record so that corruption cannot engage you. Not only cannot it engage you, but the ability for the reference of sin is no longer there. How you all doing? All good? Praise the Lord. Part of what God has given, this is the gift of Jesus' resurrection. This is the gift that Jesus, when he stepped out of this world, he stepped out of it for resurrection. He didn't step out of it to show that he had ascension and could do all of those things. He stepped out of it to show us a way. Part of the problems in church life is you've been told you have to stay where you are and you're not allowed to go anywhere else. That's why the devil wants you to stay. And any devil will tell you, you are not allowed to go in heaven. It's only for one day when you die. But if I'm already dead, I don't need to die. And the only way you become dead, the only way you become dead is to have another piece added, not something taken away. Because what it does is it does away with corruption and chaos. So grave, where is your power? Death, where is your sting? Because what God has done is he has added to us. God does not want to take away. God wants to add, to increase us to such a point that we totally overcome. And you overcome by going through the cross and being willing to say yes to everything on the outside that causes your attention to be drawn to it. We must go through to a different point and go through into something that God can unlock for us. God is doing this stuff on the earth for a reason, because there is a body of people that he is looking for that have said yes. When our marrow of our bone is changed and we have a different blood moving inside our body, then you better believe God can come along and take hold of your heart and take it out and give you one that's completely different, because then the blood that's inside there matches the same as the new heart he puts inside there, which means that your DNA on the inside is going to be different than the DNA on the outside. And then when the DNA on the inside starts to shine, the outside is going to take on that harmony of that inside man, and your body will not be able to corrupt and die, because it'll be in a completely different realm, functioning from a completely different record than the corruption you currently have that sits inside your physical body. God is about to do some weird stuff on the face of the earth. And all those that engage it are going to be weird. I mean, you really are. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you go to work in the morning and you're going, lion, ox, eagle, man. And you're going, you frame matter that wasn't there before. Weird. The kind of weird I think I would really like. God made us into a triune being so that we can function as a triune being, and added functionality, all three parts being added, not one taken away. God wants all three, body, soul, and spirit. We're a triune being. God wants all of them together, none of them taken away. And if that stuff is taken, if any one of them is taken away, we lose the value of the three-strand cord. Currently, human beings have showing a two-strand cord of DNA. I've done teachings on the three-strand cord, what it means, what God's DNA looks like, but get the CDs. So if you want to qualify what I'm doing here, then just get the record and have a listen to it and blah, blah. We need to have a three-strand cord. Currently, we only have two. Why do we only have two? Because one strand is going to die. Sorry, one is already dead, which is called your body. It has to come to life. Your body has got to come to life. God wants to bring life where there's death, where corruption will put on incorruption. That put on means to be cloaked in an image completely different than what you had on before. Literally, it's going to be like us change. Do you realize why humans like changing their clothes? Not just because you smell them when washing, but you like changing the look on your outside. Do you know why you do that? It's because inside you know you're going to look different, and you want to look different, and so you try and dress every day looking different. It's a habit that's already woven into our fabric, but it's looking at the wrong thing. Wow. I want to be cloaked differently in my body. So woman, you can get inside there and put your new clothes on, and you can imagine what's going to be like. I'm going to be different. God wants to make us different, and he's going to do it for us. God will unlock this thing because it's our Father's good pleasure to give us the good things of his kingdom. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I want it. I'm sick to death of what I have. I want this other thing. So now, if my blood's changed and the Father changes my heart, then let's talk about the soul here, because the soul is also an intrinsic part of what's going on. Do you realize that we have relegated our soul with our body? We've told our soul, you're useless, you're relegated with the body, you're so corrupt, I'm going to fight against you. Do you realize you've got to love your soul? So let's talk a little bit about it. Let's talk, first of all, how the soul of a man is formed. So inside the womb, you have the physical seed that comes together. The moment that seed comes into contact and you have a single-celled organism inside the womb of a woman, the spirit, there's a flash of light, what the scientists call energy, that happens inside the womb of a woman. That flash of light is not energy. That flash of light is the wings that sit, the two ovaries which form an arc to the realm of heaven inside the womb of a woman. What happens is that inside her womb, a window opens to the eternal world. In that flash of energy is actually your spirit being appearing in the womb of a woman. The moment that spirit being appears, when those seeds join together, and it physically touches the physical form of the seed of your parents joining together, the soul being is formed as an eternal being of that union. Your soul is an eternal thing. And your soul is formed out of the union of your spirit with your physical body. Your soul is supposed to be unified with your spirit. Your soul is the mediator of your spirit man's function through a physical body to allow your spirit man to interact with the natural world. Do you realize we are supposed to interact with this physical environment with our spirit being, not just with our body? The way you're supposed to interact with it is by terraforming it and by formation of matter out of nothing, because light and power equals mass. Basic science. It's true. You know, E equals MC squared. Light over power equals mass. Anyway, and so moving right along. And so when the soul of a being is formed, what happens is it's then framed. And so the first part of the human being that's formed inside the womb is the skull and the backbone, because the amniotic fluid is where the spirit man's house becomes. Your spirit man lives in the amniotic fluid of your body. And then the next thing that forms is your heart. Why does the heart form next? It's because that's where your soul dwells. Your soul lives inside your heart. Because you think with your soul. You don't think with your body. Okay, so the only reason I've got a brain is to empower my spirit man to function in the world. But I've trained my brain to function with my body in the world. And so what happens is a human soul is formed, and when the child gets born, the body uses the soul to empower it to function. And so your soul is trained to engage with your body instead of to engage with your spirit. Wow. And so by training our soul to interface with our body instead of interfacing with our spirit man, our soul gets darker and darker and more corrupt and more corrupt, and it begins to birth a life of corruption itself. The same way as we've got to break the ties between our soul and spirit. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing us under the soul and spirit. I do a teaching on dividing soul and spirit. Get the CD. The same way as we have to break the cord between our soul and spirit so our spirit man can be identified properly and the soul can come to its right position, we've got to break the ties between our body and our soul so our soul is in free to interface properly with our spirit man without the body's craving and desires that frame it and give it the ability to have life. The only reason you have life is because of your spirit, not because of your soul. Right, and your identity as a spirit being is woven into your soul. So when you die as a believer, your ascension is soul and spirit together. That's what identifies you and sets you apart in the realms, because you now have a soul and spirit that are completely unified. But God isn't a two-part being. God's a three-part being. And that's why our body is so important to God. That's why we've got to change the way we behave with our body and the way we consider it and what we look at it and the way we consider it on the inside. Okay, I can feel some of you guys really wrestling with what I'm saying, because your whole life you've been trying to crucify your flesh and deal with the stuff that your body's done. Well, there is a better way. Once you've walked through the cross, you've got to breathe it into life. You've got to breathe it into life. So I won't go into that. And so I'm done teaching, I'll get it, whatever. And so it'll be on the website soon. And so part of the functionality of our body is that God wants to bring us into the fullness of who we are as a being, body, soul, and spirit. That we may prosper, body, soul, and spirit. That the fullness of God would be revealed in us, body, soul, and spirit. That the measure of the full Godhoodness of what God wants to bring us into is body, soul, and spirit. Then we will be a triune being in heaven. Like, are you getting, like, some of you, you're not smiling. No, not really. But I mean, I just, God wants us to understand the intrinsic value of our body. We've got to learn how to appreciate the value of what God has given us here in the earth. Well, the reason we came is to have a body. The reason we chose to come into earth is to have the bonding of our soul with our spirit man, which will identify us when we're in the kingdom world of our Father. But in being in the kingdom world of our Father, without your body, that means the physical realm and environment around you will not be able to identify you, because you'll only be an eternal being living in another realm. If all of creation is groaning for your revealing, do you think it's just that one day you're going to be in heaven? It's groaning so that your body would be revealed. You're not getting it. Some of you, like your thought processes are going, all my doctrine is just out the window. Doctrine is the study of the past, which means you're bound to the past. Revelation is the doctrine of the future. No man has been here before, so when somebody weird like me comes along and goes, you need your body, you've got to change your doctrine. Got to change your belief systems. Got to start working on the internal stuff that you've hated in your life. And so God is doing this. Why is God doing this? Because he wants a body of people that he can show off to all of creation. I don't just want to be a bride. Your soul and spirit will make you the bride. But I want to be a body that God can show off to creation. And only if you have your body will you rule over creation. So how are you all doing? It's a good start. It's 5 to 11. I've been talking for nearly an hour. Part of what God is wanting to do with us in the church is to get us out of an old, corrupt system and the chaos of what went on. Let's just talk about a scripture to finish here. The Bible says that God brought Abraham out of his tent and showed him the heavens. And then said to him, If you can count the heavens, the stars, sorry, if you can count the stars, so shall your seed be. All right? So how many of you have ever tried counting that out there? Well, considering you're only in one galaxy, okay, there's now 900 billion galaxies so far that they've seen. So far, they've only discovered about 1.5 thirds of it. They've really only discovered about half of our entire universe so far. And so far, they estimate 900 billion galaxies. And so when the Bible says that God brought Abraham out of his tent door and showed him the heavens and said to him, if you can count the stars of heaven, so shall you see. I think God was having a joke. Considering for me to count to a trillion, doing one every second would take me about 32,000 years. That only deals with our galaxy. Do you realize they estimate, science estimates that there's something like 17 million planets that have the capacity to have life on them just in our galaxy. All of creation is waiting for you to have a body so we can respond with, because all of creation was made to respond to the DNA of man. Yes, Ian. And so God brought Abraham. So when we see the original structure of the scriptures associated with it, what the rabbinical teachers teach and believe is that God brought Abraham out of the terrestrial and seated him in the celestial where the heavens were opened up in their fullness. That one encounter did some stuff to Abraham. Because suddenly, at 100 years old, everything worked. And not only did it work, but it affected his wife so much that it worked for her. Not only did it work for her, but it changed her so much, she became the most beautiful woman in the known world. So there's something that's important about my body being escorted into the realm where the heavens are open in their fullness that has an effect not only on me, but everyone that's around me. That's why David, when he was in the cave of Adullam playing his little instrument, jing-a-chick-a-jing-a-chick-a-jing-a-chick, well, sort of. That's in the NIV version. For those who don't know what the NIV version is, the new Ian version. Hallelujah. And so, do you realize that David's men were called mighty men for a reason? Mighty men were known as men of renown. Men of renown in the record of Scripture are those that had Nephilim seed. That's why they were outcasts, because they all had six fingers and weird toes and a little bit bigger than most people. They had no fixed abode, so that's why they were in the forest, because they were outcasts of Israel. David gathered them all up. Do you realize that David's engagement with heaven and where he walked with God while he was in that cave and the sound of what he cultured in that environment of who he was so changed intrinsically their DNA and who they were that they all became judges in Israel? The influence of what goes on when you engage in this stuff is unimaginable. If Abraham's encounter going into the celestial arena so changed him and his wife that she became the most beautiful woman in the known world, well, praise God, no more wrinkles. Hallelujah. I so love you, sis. God is doing stuff, and it's weird. It's really weird. God is about to bring change in the face of the earth, and he's looking for people who will say yes. To be able to make a stand on the inside and go, God, I've been taught this, but this is true. So how do I start this process? So let's just give you some simple things. First of all, it's got to engage with your desire. And so to desire your body to be in a different place means you've got to change your attitudes to your body. You've got to change what you think about it. You've got to change the way you feel about it. You've got to change what you've been taught about it. My body is of intrinsic value to God. Desire is the thing that changes that. The next thing you've got to begin to engage with, and this isn't a three-part sermon, all right? So I'm not getting, people are going, how do I do this? Whatever, it's in the atmosphere. The next thing is faith. You've got to entangle yourself with the truth that your body will testify of the resurrection. Got to entangle yourself that your body will testify of the resurrection. The next thing you've got to do is you've got to engage with hope. Hope is the building block of what God has given to you and I, because our anchor is in hope. Hope is the foundation of the materializing of stuff that is not there. Hope becomes the material of the substance of heaven that releases the presence of God to fill the framework that faith has built for us. So the word says this, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So Christ framed in you and testifying in you of the hope that he has already attained to releases you to become who he is. Okay, Christ has already attained it. We don't need to attain to it. He's already attained to it. Therefore, we've got to engage and come into who he is. That's why if any man be in Christ. Okay? So you've got to go into where he is. And a man be co-crucified. We've got to go into where he is. We've got to go become part of him. Jesus said, I'm in you, you and you're in me. So for this stuff to manifest in life, we've got to engage with hope. The last thing that we've got to do is change the thoughts of our heart. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. In fact, it's not the last thing. As a man thinks inside his heart, so he is. The last thing that's going to seal this thing comes from a scripture that says this. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You can't join unless you interface, which means intimacy is a key component in all of this. It doesn't just come out of step one, step two, step three. It's only going to come out of intimacy. God will unlock it, and I believe it's coming to the earth in our day. I really do believe God is going to start to do some weird stuff. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or thing that God has in store for them that love him. No man has seen this in our day. I want to be the first. And if you beat me, I'll come around and slap you around, but I won't be able to touch you. So I don't know how I'll do that, but somehow we'll work it out. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Father. One of the key components for me that has really helped me get to grips with this is our ability to have an entry into the world of God. I so much don't want him here. I so much want to be where he is. So, Father, I want to thank you that your son tore the veil. Father, I so thank you that you made a way, not just for me, with spirit and soul, but for me with spirit, soul, and body. Because the priests used to have an entry with their body into that world, Father. Their body never stayed this side of the veil when they went in. They went in body, soul, and spirit. And Father, as the priest would stand in front of that veil, he'd be sucked in. He would be so dematerialized in the physical world and rematerialized the other side of the veil. Father, we don't have to do that. You've just given us the ability to step through, Father. And so, Lord, today by faith I lay hold of the hem of the garment, of the curtain and the veil that has separated my body from your presence. And Father, today I bring myself, body, soul, and spirit, into your realm. Father, I step through the veil. I step through that veil into your world, Father, bringing my body, escorted by my spirit man, into the realm of your presence. Father, thank you for my body. Thank you that you chose me to be on earth in this day when this council of heaven would be opened up and the voice of God on the earth, that I would have opportunity, Father, to see the fullness of God on earth again. Father, I thank you that this breath and this wind that moves in this realm, Father, would begin to breathe into my DNA, into my bones. Father, that the marrow of my bones would begin to take on the sound, the voice of the testimony of Christ in the name of Yeshua. Father, today we receive this from you, Father, as a gift. Father, we bring this back into this world, Father, escorting the truth through the veil to this side of this veil, Father, in the earth. Father, we thank you. We hold the secrets of God in our body. Father, we ask that you'd grow it and you'd engage it, Father, to undo the twists inside our life. Father, that wrinkles that we have, you would unlock them to become a gate of your glory here in the face of the earth, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.